We're talking with Betty Hill, famous and first abductee. September 19, 1961, Betty, while driving with her husband Barney, was heading south from Canada when very early in the morning, he saw a strange light behind the car. It was September 19th. But what time was that, Betty, that this light behind the car appeared?
Well, we had crossed over the border into New Hampshire, and I think we started to see this light following. Actually, in the very beginning, I noticed a bright light in the sky, and I thought I was discovering a new planet until it started to move. And this was about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. So we stopped the car and got out to see what this... We thought it was a plane. So we stopped the car to get out to look at it. And that's when it changed direction and started coming in towards us. Now, that was in about the Lancaster area.
So,
and then it followed us for about 30 miles. Paced our car.
And all the while, you and Barney were discussing it. What is this? What is that?
Yes, see, Barney did in World War II. He knew planes. And he's trying to identify this. And it's flying in a very erratic manner, which was very puzzling to us. But this is 61. We'd heard UFO. Well, actually, in those days, they called them flying saucers. We had no idea what a flying saucer looked like. But we had no fear, just curiosity. We were trying to identify this craft.
You go on in the road. You decide to pull over. Barney gets out of the car.
Actually, that was in the Indian Head area.
Okay. Am I preceding something here when you encountered alien entities, or was this after?
No, this is the next step.
Okay.
In the Indian Head area, I'm trying to attract the attention of this craft. I'm telling it, come on in. Hi. I got the window down. I'm yelling to her. Hi. Who are you? My cat fell off the stool. And at that point, it left the top of the mountain, came out over the highway, and stopped in midair directly in front of us, maybe about 50 feet in the sky. So Barney got out with the binoculars in an attempt to identify the craft. And when he looked up, he saw a circular window with a bright light behind it, and he saw these men standing behind the window looking down at him. And at that point, the craft began to descend. And he became frightened. Ran back to the car, saying he thought they were trying to capture him. So we got in the car, and we were speeding down the highway to avoid capture. And as we're driving along, there's beeping sounds. That sounds like something was hitting the trunk of the car, and the car vibrated. And then we drove along for about another 30 miles, when Barney turned off onto a side road, and here were the group of men he'd seen on the craft standing in the middle of this road, blocking our way. And naturally, he had to stop the car. And they came up in two groups, took us out of the car, passed in the woods to where the craft was on the ground.
At that point, strange thoughts started going through your heads, thoughts that weren't your own. Did you have some sort of telepathic communication with these entities, or?
Our communication was verbal.
Verbal?
Right.
Oh, interesting.
Yep. They spoke English in a limited way. Huh. Like, a foreigner coming here and not too well acquainted with our language.
But in the same time, using common colloquialisms of the day, like, you'll be back in no time or something of that ilk.
Well, in the very first part, they had us under some kind of control. And I brought myself out of this, but Barney was only able to bring himself partly out of it. So I was just as conscious as I am right now.
They walk you into the craft up a ramp, the landed craft. This is right off Route 3. Well, actually, you didn't know where you were at that point.
Right off Route 3.
So they walk you up this ramp. You brought in, and what did they say they were going to do with you?
Well, when we got up to the door, I was not going to go in. So I socked them.
You punched the entity?
Yeah. In fact, I put up such a battle that my dress is badly torn. And he said, you know, come on. All we want to do is those simple tests. And as soon as the tests are over, we'll take you back to your car and you'll be on your way.
Let's just go back to those type of entities. They were your classic alien, gray-shaped, cat-like... No, they weren't. Okay.
They were a form of human being.
They were a form of human being.
Right.
Did they have cat-like or Cheshire-like eyes?
They had larger eyes than ours. Smaller nose. And smaller mouth. No protruding part of the ear and no hair.
So
not people.
Nothing like these classic grays you see your Whitley Strievers.
I don't know. I've never seen those. I don't know what they're talking about.
Sure, okay. There was a leader of...
Well, we gave them different names to identify. Now, I don't know if he was the leader or the interpreter. But we called him the leader. And then there was the one who did the testing. We called him the examiner. There were 9 others who stayed out in the corridor, and we called them the crew members.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you're on board. What do you remember what you saw when you entered the craft? Did something must have taken you aback, saying, this is amazing, or what type of craft am I inside? Can you describe as to what you collectively remember?
Yeah. Went in to a corridor, and then I was taken into a room, and I had to step up because the floor, level of the floor, was above the corridor, and it was an oval-shaped door like we would see on a ship.
Do you remember at that point, did they specify what their agenda at that point was? Were you going immediately in for the examination, or...
They had taken us strictly to... Actually, they wanted to find out how we were like them or different from them, physically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you feel that you were chosen for this, or you happened to be in the wrong area at the wrong time, or the right area at the right time?
Well, now I figure it was the right time, mm-hmm. in the right area. But I think we... I brought it on myself. You know, I'm waving to them and yelling to them, and who are you? And,
You get into the examination room. You're separated from Barney.
Right. He's taken into the second room.
Your examination, and again, all this comes out in later dreams and hypnosis, but immediately do they remove your clothes and perform... What happens? You'll have to... I'm tainted by all the popular lore of abduction stories. What do they do?
I don't know anything about those
stories. That's good. Well, you're better off.
But I was taken into this first room.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite bare. There was a small table. There was a stool. And then the wall, the door, there were doors in the wall that would slide back and forth. And they put me on a stool, checked my eyes, ears, nose, throat, my feet, my hands. And then he put me on a table and said they were going to check my nervous system. And they used some kind of equipment to do this. And then he tried to insert a needle-like instrument in my navel, which caused pain. So they stopped doing it. And then the examiner left and went into the room where Barney was.
Mm-hmm. Can you describe what was happening to Barney, what Barney recalled under hypnosis, what was going on at the same time in his examination room?
With Barney, most of the exam was the same as mine, except they were interested in his bone structure. I mean, they were feeling all up and down his spine, his arms and all, basically.
Did Barney recall any struggle akin to the struggle that you had, where you had a torn
because
dress?
They had him under this control.
Okay.
He was... but very upsetting to him because he couldn't move.
Mm-hmm. So they had implemented paralysis, some sort of temporary paralysis on Barney to subdue him, whereas to you they gave you a little more leeway as far as you weren't...
Well, I was smaller than Barney, mm-hmm. so I didn't get a big dose of paralysis.
So they saw him as more of a fear, perhaps,
right.
than you.
He was bigger than them.
Okay. Taller. Your examination concludes. Then what happens?
Well... The examiner is in doing Barney's exam. I started talking with the leader. And I said, I know you're not from this planet. Where are you from? And he showed me a star map. And he explained part of the map to me briefly. And then we just talked about food and different aspects of life here.
give me some...
Actually, what led to the food was the examiner came running back into the room where I was and started tugging at my teeth. And he wanted to know why Barney's teeth were removable and mine were not.
And the story is Barney had dentures.
Yeah, during World War II, Barney got too close to a hand grenade and knocked his teeth out.
And they were totally confused by
all
of this.
That was very puzzling to them.
Yeah. And humorous.
Yeah.
Any other instances that something that, as a human, you took so general as a characteristic that you never thought of it, that they got confused by, almost childlike, you know, akin to the denture incident? Yeah. Was there anything else like that that they seemed that, boy, you don't know that? That you can recall?
Well, they were sort of disappointed. I didn't know anything about the solar system.
Okay.
That, I think they really expected me to be able to identify the map.
They were actually upset that you didn't recognize their
right.
home. Let's go to that Marjorie Fish, months later, or years later, actually.
Years later.
Under hypnosis. Tries to induce you under hypnosis to redraw that star?
No,
maybe you can go over that.
No. Dr. Simon, at the time.
Benjamin Simon.
Dr. Benjamin Simon said that during the week, if I wanted to, I would be able to remember the star map, and I would sketch it. But I was not to think about it. I was just to let my hands go ahead and draw it, which I did. And that was in 1965.
Four years after the incident.
Now, in 1969, Marjorie Fish came here and stayed a few days and asked me all kinds of questions, hours and hours, which she taped. And then used that to go back home and
took your map,
did the research on it, and identified the areas.
The area of the star map, which she said was in the constellation that we know, Reticulus, in the star system, was Zeta Reticuli. And from that point, do you remember the mentioning Zeta Reticuli, or is that a terminology that we as Earthlings have given them? So
I would have no idea what their name
okay.
is for their home planet.
And do you remember what type of star system? Was it a white star? Was it a yellow star? A red giant? Do you recall what type of star or anything?
I don't know, but I do know that our astronomers believe that the stars on my map were the ones most likely to have planets and have life as we know it.
And so they may be younger stars, hotter stars.
Actually, We're believed to be 4.6 billion years old.
Or 20 billion. It seems that we age a billion years every 5 years. So.
But actually, Zeta Reticuli, we believe, we don't know for sure, but we believe it's about 11 billion years old. So they've been around a lot longer than we have.
Over twice as long than the chance to evolutionize, to project. So, this puzzling incident, you're examined, you get a tour of the spaceship,
no.
or the craft, do they show you anything? It's just only on a needs-to-know basis.
Just the one room I was in.
The interaction with you and the question-and-answer session was more than Barney. They did not give Barney the opportunity to inquire.
No. There was no conversation with Barney. I enjoyed myself. I had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
He joked, we kidded.
Really?
Yeah. I invited him to come back. I can say, please, please, please come back. Oh, I had so many friends who would love to meet you.
So this was not a traumatic experience at all. It was an enlightening experience.
Oh,
spiritually uplifting,
right,
perhaps.
Right. It was. Nobody can tell me there's not life on other planets.
At the same time, it seems that 36 hours after the sighting is on record, according to Jacques Vallée, at 2:14 a.m., Pease Air Force was tracking an unknown object.
Oh, yeah, I told him that. Pease Air Force Base released the radar report where they tracked this craft. It sent two planes out to check it out, and the reports of the pilots are still classified, so we know they saw it.
To the skeptic, that kind of knocks them out of the water, then, if for you to guess... If this were a concocted story, boy, you know your stuff. It's a pretty well orchestrated event to have Pease personnel involved, and that Betty and Barney, Barney was a postal worker.
Yeah.
Postal worker, you're involved in real estate, and that you pulled off a grand hoax through the Air Force. This is, it's nearly impossible, if not impossible, absurd, I guess is the term I'm looking for. You're released from the craft. You get back into the car. You check your watches. Why?
Well, I don't think we checked our watches until we're almost home to see what time it was, and both our watches had stopped functioning.
And you could not account for some time elapsed?
No, the trip, we realized the trip had taken much longer than what it should have. Maybe about 2 hours.
Were you feeling woozy? Did you have a headache? Did you have any physical? Were you just exhausted? What can you describe what your feeling was?
We've been driving all night. We got home about 5 in the morning. We're calm, we're relaxed.
Oh, so you weren't...
feeling very well.
You didn't feel traumatized or injured time or should I say violated at that time. Okay. You go in the house, and I guess, is it the next morning? You check out the car and
find this.
And what happens when you look at the car?
Highly polished spots on the trunk of the car.
Highly...
And that day, we were getting tropical rains from a hurricane that was going through. And it was heavy downpour. And... didn't affect the spots at all. They stayed there for months.
Your sister, who claimed to have seen a UFO, suggested that you do what with around the car?
She talked to a physicist who said go out with a compass and check out the spots, which we did.
What happened?
And the compass was very, very erratic.
Almost spinning or just...
Yeah, it was, you know. And we tried it on different other parts of the car, and it didn't react that
But just near where the spots were.
Just the spots.
Hence the inference being a magnetic anomaly. Yeah. Something was really distorting the magnetic draw of the compass. Yeah. At that point, afterwards, do you contact CUFOs, Dr. J. Allen Hynek, or what is the sequence of events?
Nope.
Does Walter Webb appear?
First of all, we didn't do anything.
Okay.
And then NICAP in Washington.
Okay.
I wrote to them because I wanted to know, being exposed to a UFO, close range, was there any health problems? Were we exposed to radiation? What kind of dangers?
They dispatched Walter Webb as their representative.
That was later.
Okay. So NICAP has that. That letter winds up on the files of the Center for UFO Studies with Dr. J. Allen Hynek.
It might have. I don't know.
You never ever communicated with Dr. Hynek.
Oh, yeah. We became good friends.
Oh, really?
Well, that was years later.
Okay.
We did numerous TV programs together.
Okay. What was your feeling on Dr. Hynek? Was he obviously a thinly veiled skeptic?
No. He believed every word of it.
At the end?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, as soon as he met us.
Sure. I think that his take on the UFO phenomena when he was humiliated with the swamp gas incident could have to trot out an absurd explanation for an event in front of a college dorm, I believe, in Michigan or near the Great Lakes. That's when he said, all right, enough, that he saw that the government was masquerading or at least trotting out disinformation and misinformation on the UFO phenomena.
Because when he first started, he was working for the government.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So... Dr. Hynek and you were great friends then?
Oh, yeah.
Great.
And I know many. And I believe Dr. Hynek's son, there's a son who you live down here in Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. So, you're having some troubling dreams now. Is that what happens at home?
Oh.
After
the encounter? 10 nights after this happened, I had a series of dreams for 5 nights. Each dream was different. Which later I found out was a recall of what had happened.
And the dreams were depicting what you just described to me. At that point, what do you do? Is Barney troubled by all this? Is Barney...
No.
Has his life pattern changed? Has his mood changed at all? Or
actually...
Any physical...
Well, the first thing that I did was each morning, during the next day, I wrote down what I could remember of my dream.
The following day, which would be the 20th.
And every time I had it, no, I didn't.
I'm sorry, 10 days,
nights,
right. Sure.
After.
So we're talking the 29th, 30th, roughly.
Yeah. And I made a record on these
38
dreams.
Years to the day. Okay.
And then I took and put them away. Mm-hmm. And then later, several months later, I talked with my supervisor about the meaning of dreams.
And
then she said, well, maybe it happened.
And suggested, or did she connect you with
We just talked about it.